Celebrate Jesus with me this morning. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the giver of life, the giver of hope, the giver of joy. Thank Him from the depth of your heart. Give Him the glory due to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be God. In Jesus' wonderful name, we are praying. We just concluded 3 days of prayer and fasting last Friday. Great time in God's presence. God's word must be fulfilled. According to Isaiah chapter 58, from verse 6 down the line, he said, when we wait on the Lord in a fast, he said, all yokes are destroyed. Therefore, no more yoke shall be around your life. I thought I'm praying for someone here this morning. No more yoke shall be on your neck. No more chain will hold you down. He said, when you pray, he will hear you. He said, he will guide you continually. This month, you will experience God's guidance in all affairs of your life. Lift up your hand, therefore, Father, all through this month, divine guidance for me, leading me to my place. Somebody pray that prayer. Very crucial prayer. Most important prayer. The prayer of guidance. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Thank God for it. Blessed be God. In Jesus' wonderful name, we have given thanks. Somebody who believes, say a very loud amen. Please say with me, Operation 615 will work. By the grace of God, I will be a frontline partaker of it. I will reach out to souls and bring them into the house of God. I will engage in intercession to take over territory for Jesus. To take over this territory for Jesus. I will not be left behind. I receive passion and zeal of the house of the Lord. So help me, Lord. Turn it into prayer right now. Turn it into prayer right now. Father, baptize me with fresh zeal, with new drive, to see so saved and see them brought into the kingdom of God. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' precious name, we are praying. Amen. Please get seated. Give Jesus a big hand. It's my new dawn era. What eyes have not seen nor ears heard shall be the order of the day in my life this year. Congratulations. We have heard quite a lot about Operation 615 beginning from last Sunday and even this morning. God's servant, the apostle by this commission, Bishop Oyedepo, making it very clear to us what our duty is at this season. Furtherance to that, the ushers will please help us to circulate this pamphlet declaring Operation 615. Please quickly do that. Ushers, get a copy of this. If you have never read any publication in this church before, I want to ask you to please make sure you read this one. This is most crucial, very vital, and it will result in the advancement of your destiny. Please read it. It gives us details about what the operation holds in stock for us and clear picture on how to pursue it. But for benefit of doubt, I'd like us to know that this operation is kicking off tomorrow very powerfully, beginning with our daily covenant hour of prayer. A day started with Jesus is already a conquered day. Start your day with prayer and you will win all through the day. Kneel before God in the morning to stand strong before men at daytime. That's what prayer does. we have specialized outreaches that we call daily gospel raid at 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. from Goshen and in all our prayer centers as listed in the announcement bulletin. Please check up and be very sure. We also have optional 4-hour prayer each day except Wednesday, 9 a.m., 12 noon, 3 p.m., and 6 p.m. in all prayer centers, including Goshen here. Please attend any that is most convenient for you, but in all probability, all of us can attend the evening one because most people will have closed from work. Please don't miss it. A fresh fire is burning. You will not miss out of it. I thought you said amen to that. You will not miss out of it. This is apart from your personal engagement in soul winning and your personal time of intercession and that of your family. Be reminded also that this is our Operation Andrew Week. It will speak in your life. I thought you said amen to that. It will speak in your life. Make sure you participate in the outreach on Saturday at the district level. 7 a.m. is the time. It will be the best outreach you ever attend in your life. You don't have to know how to preach. Just get passionate about seeing souls saved. Be passionate. God, I want to see souls saved. God, I want to be a part of bringing people to the kingdom of God. I want to be a part of rescuing the dying. Many who are dying in your neighborhood, God will use you to rescue them. Luke 14:21, he said, go out quickly to the lanes, to the streets, bring in the poor, the maimed, the old, the blind. Go everywhere and bring them. That's what God is saying. And in verse 23, he said, go and compel them to come. So you need to be inviting your neighbors, your friends, in a compelling tone. You want to get somebody to come to church. Don't ask him, can you come to our church? No. You tell him, next Sunday, you are following me to church. Compelling. Compelling. If it means anointing your tongue and tell the person, next Sunday, you are coming to church with me. Your employees are there. Your barbers are there. Your mechanic is there. Your hairdresser is there. Your tailor is there. Tell them, follow me to church. This new dress you made for me, I want to wear it next Sunday. You need to follow me to see how it fits in my body so you can make more for me. You are anointed. Compel them to come. That's what Jesus said. Meaning, you invite them once, they didn't come. Invite them the second time, the third time, until they answer you. Somebody say amen to that. Come next Sunday. By reason of the souls you are inviting to church, there shall be overflow in this service. Those who will do it are saying amen. Be determined. Coming here next Sunday, I must bring souls with me. And you will not miss your reward for it. I thought you said amen to that. This will interest you. Permit me to read this testimony very quickly from one Ihioma Amarachi. 3 job offers from Operation Andrew. I am here to return all glory to God for breaking the yoke of unemployment in my life. I was invited to this church by my uncle and attended last Sunday service for the first time. The following week, she went into action. Fortunately for me, it was communion service. When I partook of it, I prayed to God that I needed a change in my life, and God did it. On Monday night, I was deeply singing praises and dancing to God when I had a voice telling me to go to the place where I earlier submitted my CV. So I decided that I will go there in the morning and thereafter go for Operation Andrew, that is soul winning. When I woke up, I anointed my tongue and went straight to that office. The person I met told me that they will get in touch with me in a month's time. On my way back, I began to chorus Operation Andrew in my mouth. And before I knew it, I find myself in the midst of people preaching to them. Just as I was doing that, I received a call from the company in Lagos that I applied for a job. I told them that I was out of Lagos and will get back to them the following week. In less than 2 minutes, another company called me from Lagos. I told the caller the same thing. Then just about 2 minutes again, my phone rang, and it was from the company I just visited earlier, where they said they would get back to me later. They said I should come back to the office and prepare to start work the following day. I give praise to God. Within 5-6 minutes, 3 job offers just for serving God. This week, as you engage in serving God, He will open the book of remembrance concerning you. In Jesus' wonderful name, we are prayed. Are you glad you came this morning? Are you ready to receive the word of the Lord? How many of you can see that poverty is ending in your life? Begging is ending in your life. Borrowing is ending in your life. Lift up your voice and say, Lord, speak to me your word this morning. Speak to me. Inform me. Transform me. Inform me. Educate me. Impart me. Enlighten me. Impart me. Enlighten me. Impart me. Send your word to me. Your word of power. Your word of life. Power to get wealth. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name, we are prayed. Somebody say loud, amen. The prophetic focus for this month is, I am blessed to be a blessing. Would somebody like to say that with me right now? Say it again. Make sure you hear yourself very well. That's what God intended to be for you, and that's what you will continue to be. Say with me, I am not the needy. I am the giver. I am not the beggar. I am the lender. I am not in want. I am a distributor. From now, I will be helping people. I will not be looking for help. Do you believe that's you? Give Jesus a big hand right now. Our teaching series every Sunday this month, this being part 2B, is walking in financial dominion. Walking in financial dominion. This morning, the good news for you is that God wants you to have dominion over financial issues. He wants you to be in control. He wants you to be the ruler. He doesn't want money to rule you, but for you to rule money. Say amen, somebody. He doesn't want money to be on your head. He wants money to be underneath your feet. He wants money to be underneath your feet. Studio, please lower this volume. He wants money to be underneath your feet, not on your head. What does that mean? God doesn't want you to worry about anything money again in your life. You will never worry about money again. You will never worry about money again. But this is where it begins from. You must understand why God blesses His people, particularly you. Why does God want to bless you? Primarily, He wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. Say amen. He wants to bless you so you can be a channel, not an accumulator, but a distributor. And you know the good thing about that? You can't be distributing and be lacking. If all you are looking for is what to accumulate, then you will never get enough. If what you want is to distribute, then you will get more than enough. Example. This is life testimony. Many years back, at night, the thought of a few people occurred to me to help. And I wrote down those three names. How much was it? About 300,000 naira to help. But the money was not there. Went to the office. And by afternoon, I was told somebody came to the office and dropped for me a draft of 500,000 naira. They asked the person, "Would you like to see him?" He said, "It's not necessary. It's not necessary. I wanted to distribute. So God gave to me what to distribute, and the balance became my own." Can you see that? To think self is to become less. To think others is to have more. So God wants you to be blessed so you can be a blessing. Stop thinking self if you don't want to be reduced to less. That's what he told Abraham. Genesis 12 verses 1 to 3, I'll bless you and make you a blessing. God will not bless you beyond your commitment to bless the needy around you. Think of those who have needs every day. Think beyond yourself. Empty yourself for others to live, and you will live forever. You will never be remembered for what you have, but for what you add to others. The additions you make, not the accumulations you have, is what people will remember you for. Proverbs 28, 27, Job 29, 4 to 17. God will never bless any man beyond his commitment to being a blessing to his world. We are to bless our world. Say with me, I'm a blessing to our world. Let me hear you very well. Hear what the scripture admonishes us. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10. Do good unto all men. We are to be doing good to all men. All men. Especially beginning from the household of faith. Your fellow brothers in the church, start with them. We are to be community changers. People who will go to their communities and build roads for them. I thought somebody saying amen to that. Individuals who will go to their community and set up power system for them, electricity provision. People who will go to their community and build schools for them free of charge. That is you God is talking about. That is you God is talking about. People who will go to their community and gather the widows. And gather children who can't go to school because they can't pay fees. That is you I'm talking about. And this year it shall be done by your hand. In the precious name of Jesus. We must, however, quickly understand this morning that there are different platforms that we must build in order to enjoy financial dominion. Last Sunday, we began with a series. Number one platform last Sunday is to possess a heart of gratitude. Ingratitude is what has hindered many people from enjoying financial dominion. Be grateful for where you are. Be thankful for what you have. As a pastor, my salary was 300, then 320 or 340, I can't remember precisely. But ever thankful, ever grateful. As a young pastor, I had bench for my bed, but nobody will ever see it on my face. Grateful to God. Your mouth may be eating Gary today, but don't let your mind eat Gary. Attitude of gratitude is what will enhance your altitude. Joseph's body was in the four walls of the prison, but his mind was in the palace. Where your mind goes is where your destiny ends. Where your mind goes is where your destiny ends. I had one pair of shoes that was open in the front. I mended it, it opened, vulcanized it, it opened. Sought retirement. I couldn't retire it because there was no other one. But ever grateful. A grateful heart will produce a financial life, abundant life. Say with me, I am grateful to God. If your salary is 50,000 naira, take it like Jesus took the 5 loaves of bread and said, Father, I thank you that I have a job, that I have a place to wake up in the morning to say I'm going to work. I thank you. Possess a grateful heart. I started pastoring a church of 4 people, but with a grateful heart. The day somebody rode bicycle to the church for the first time, it was a special announcement. Thank God, finally, our church has become a church of mobility. Amen. Bicycle that somebody brought to the church. Don't despise that little room where you are right now. That's the beginning. Now, hear the story of God's servant, Bishop Oyedepo. When he was a young teacher, he told us this story. He had a room, and always somebody must be with him that he is hosting. So one day he hosted somebody. He didn't know him to be a bad unbeliever. But this unbeliever, every morning, while he is having devotion, will be playing worldly music. And he advised the man, please, you know I'm the one hosting you. Stop playing this music. He will not listen. He begged him, he will not listen. So he told the man, I will leave the room for you. He said, you are free to leave. So he left the room for the man. But today, he's not talking about room, he's talking about palace. Somebody say amen to that. One other time, he had a room. A friend of his got married. They had nowhere to do honeymoon. So they came to his room. So he left the room for them. This is how greatness is being built. Making room for others in your heart. Making room for others in your heart. Making room for others in your heart. The second platform we are considering this morning is the platform of the covenant. And this is very fundamental, very foundational. The platform of the covenant. Understanding of the covenant gives you an edge in the school of prosperity. Prosperity in this kingdom is covenant based. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18, you remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. Who gives power to get wealth? Your profession? Your uncle? Who you know? The budget of your nation? Who gives power to get wealth? For what purpose?
that he may establish his covenant which is one to your fathers. The covenant. The covenant is God's focus. The covenant. This is why when you are born again, you become a covenant person by the connection of the blood of Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse unto us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. For what purpose? That he may connect us to the blessing of Abraham. That the blessing of Abraham that God swore to him might come upon us. So every child of God is a covenant child. There is a covenant between you and God. And what is covenant? Covenant is the promise of God that is bounded with an oath. With an oath. And that oath is ratified by the blood of Jesus. So God is covenantly bounded. Is covenantly bound to bless you. For you to be blessed is God's responsibility. Somebody say amen to that. But every blessing of God is conditional. This is why you find in scriptures two words, very important. If and then. If and then. If you will obey and serve him, you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Job 36:11. If you obey, you will assess the provision. God's word contains provisions and conditions. Provisions, conditions. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven. Simple. Isaiah 58 verse 6. If you will fast the God ordained fast, then every yoke shall be destroyed. God's provision is released when we fulfill God's condition. And that is what the covenant is all about. For the purpose of focus, the covenant of financial fortune is therefore based on giving and receiving. If you will give, then God will return. Genesis 8:28. As long as the heart remains, giving time and harvest time shall remain. So if you are not a giver, don't ever expect to receive. Just as it is in farming. If you don't go to farm at raining time, don't bother to go there at harvest time, because you are not invited. You are not invited. Going to farm at harvest time is acceptable only if you went to farm at raining time. What are you looking for in a bank when you didn't deposit anything there? Of course, you become a suspect. That's why God said, if you don't pay your tithe, he calls you a robber. Bravo! That wants to steal. That's what you are. Communication is the platform for financial fortune. Philippians chapter 5, chapter 4, verses 15 to 19, that was open to us at offering time. Communication. Verse 15, receiving and giving. Communication. Verse 16, it went further to explain further. You send once and again. Consistency. Once and again. You are not tired of giving. Verse 17, once and again. Not because I desire a gift, but so that something can go to your account. Every time you give, you are loading your account. You are loading your account. Every time you give, what are you doing? You are loading your account. So the big question is anything in your account? And then he went to verse 18. God smells your account. God is the accounting officer. He smells, is anything there? And when he finds anything there, then verse 19 becomes fulfilled. Then my God shall supply. From where? From your account. He shall supply from your account, which is according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, according to the multiplication of your seed. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Charge them which be rich among you, that they be not high-minded, thinking, oh, I'm a billionaire, nor trusting on certain riches. Oh, I have money in Chase Bank. I have money in Barclays Bank. I have money in Swiss. But in the living God, who giveth all things, to enjoy freely. Verse 18, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. What are they doing by that? Verse 19, he said, by so do they are laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. What time? The time when they will have a need. You know why my needs are always supplied? I have an account there. Shout amen. Anyone who excuses you from giving has excluded you from receiving. Listen to this. Never let anybody give you an impression that you don't have what to give. No, don't talk to them. They don't have what to give. They are very poor. Do you agree you are poor? I'm not hearing you very well. How do you prove you are not poor? Give. When I was sleeping on bench, I had a guest room in that house with bench. So if you are a guest who don't mind bench, you go and sleep in that room. The reason you don't give is not because you don't have, it's because you are not willing. Or maybe somebody told you are poor, you cannot give. You go for your family meeting and somebody points at you, say, oh, no, people like Brother John, let's leave them out. People like Sister Sarah, no, you know, he's very poor. Please leave them out. We are the ones who will give. You will discover that those who gave yesterday are the ones who will give today, and they are the ones who will give tomorrow. If somebody tells you you couldn't give yesterday, today he will tell you you cannot give, then tomorrow you will not be able to give. Anyone who excuses you from giving has excluded you from receiving. Refuse to be called poor. Glory to God. So we say, you know, widows can't give. But one widow gave 2 mites. And her name entered the record of Christ that she gave the best. What do you want a widow to give? But that is the way out of that poverty. That widow said to Prophet Elijah, I have just little flour to bake, so I may eat and die. If you eat, you will die. But Elijah said, woman, I want you to live. Give that thing. And the woman said, at your word, I will obey. And from 1 meal, she got 365 times 3 meal. If you don't give, get ready. You will end as a pauper. The best advice to give to the poor is give. The Macedonian church was wise. They were in deep poverty. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. But they were filled with joy. and they were begging Paul to receive from their hands.
Sometimes ago, I used to wonder that when some people give to me, I should return it to them, because I consider them not to have enough. And the Lord warned me, don't reject the offering.
Serve as a platform, as a good ground for their seed to be accepted. Anyone who exempts you from giving in the name of being poor has excluded you from being blessed. Please reject poverty mentality. And the only way to do that is to give. Give. Luke 6:38. And he shall be given to you. Don't give, it shall not be given to you. Simple.
Hallelujah.
The cheapest way to fight poverty is to give. The cheapest way to fight poverty is to give. Never you say, I don't have what to give. No! The only one who does not have what to give is the one who does not have what to eat. If you have what to eat, then you already have what to give. The widow of Zarephath had what to eat, and she turned it to what to give, and she never lacked what to eat. Can I repeat that again? That widow had what to eat, she decided to turn it to what to give, and she never lacked again what to eat.
Believe me, if this does not sound well to you, then forget about prosperity. This is the heartbeat of the subject of prosperity. Giving, receiving, communicating, tirelessly, once and again. This is key to financial fortune. Say amen, somebody. Now, quickly, what are the keys in addition to this covenant practice for walking in financial fortune? Number one, be spiritually minded. Everything material begins with spirituality. Be spiritually buoyant in order to enhance your material package. Now, at creation, what brought about abundance to man was his spirituality. Man was as wealthy as he was spiritual. When he stepped into sin, poverty stepped into his life. If you read the account in Genesis chapter 3, as soon as man stepped into sin, he discovered that he was naked. Poverty is number one child of carnality. He was looking for how to cover himself. And God helped him to clothe him, because God never wants to see our carnality. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were suffering. But when they became spiritual, through their prayer, they began to pray. And God told them, you will not only go out, but you will go out with silver and gold. Spirituality always attracts material blessing. In the first church, they were so spiritual, and God was blessing them materially. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, they prayed. Prayer is one way to show your spirituality. Prayer and fasting. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And verse 43, with great power, they preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And grace was upon them. And in verse 34, and many, neither was there any among them that lacked.
through spirituality, lack was terminated. For as many as were possessors of land and houses sold them, and they brought the prices of the things that were sold. It was not a poor church because it was a spiritual church. Spiritual church always results into material abundance. This is why the riches of the church of our generation is beaten hands down, baffling every government. They are wondering, where are they getting money from? Spirituality enhances material abundance. Be spiritually buoyant if you want to enjoy material abundance. That's the way it's working in the life of God's servant, Bishop Oyedepo. That's the way it's working in my life. I just get on key spiritually. Engage in spiritual activities such as prayer and fasting instead of running around like the people of the world. Listen to me. Struggles may make you rich, but it is spirituality that gets you blessed. Spirituality is the fountain of material blessing. Get spiritual. Operation 615. Get involved. Be a soul winner. Be on the street preaching, burning as fire for Jesus, not minding who is looking at you. Pray and fast. Somebody asked you, what are you fasting for? You are not in need. I'm not fasting because I need things. I'm fasting to enhance the well-being of the kingdom of God. Covenant hour of prayer. Get engaged. Hour of prayer for this operation. Take the territory for Christ. Get engaged. Be a church man. Let them identify you as a man who cannot do without church. Get spiritual. When you are spiritually dry, you cannot escape material dryness. Get spiritually buoyant in order to enjoy material abundance. Somebody say amen to that. Jesus was spiritually buoyant. He never lacked anything. Everything he needed was coming to meet him. Somebody's story is changing from today. Second to it, and we'll round up, is get word loaded. Be filled with the word of God. The word of God. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1, all the way to verse 13. Hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. He will bless you in your going out, in your coming in. He will bless the works of your hand. Blessed is the man that delighted greatly in the word of the Lord. Psalm 1, from verses 1 to 5. He shall be as a tree planted by the water side. Everything he lays hands on to shall prosper. He will never lack anything. His leaves will never get dry. Get loaded with the word. Job chapter 22, from verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with God. Get connected to God. Be at peace. And good will come to you. You will not look for it. It will come to you. Verse 22. Lay up his words in your heart. And verse 24. What will happen? You will lay up gold as dust. Lay up his word in your heart. And you will lay up gold on the heart. What goes on in your heart determines what happens for you on the heart. You cannot lack gold. You cannot lack silver if you don't lack the word. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and money on the heart will dwell in your pocket richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and money will dwell in your pocket richly. Glory to God. Someone blessed this morning, raise your hand and say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Give my God a big hand. God is a good God. Hallelujah. What ways are you to express your giving? Number one, through your tithing. He will rebuke the brother for a sake. Pay your tithe. Your tithe is one tenth of your earnings. Don't eat it. Don't let your eyes be on the one tenth. The nine tenth is your own. Negotiate with God. I give you one tenth. You keep nine tenth for me. You give it to God or Satan will steal it from you. Make your choice. Number two, every time you come to church, you come with a worship offering in your hand. Number three, keep giving to the poor. Give to the poor. Take care of the needy. That is among several other platforms on which you can exercise yourself in giving. You will never lack again in your life. Very importantly, as we close, what you give with your hand is not as important to God as giving of your heart to Him. Material giving begins with the giving of your soul. Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me your heart. Give me your heart. There's nowhere God will say, give me your money. Your money is secondary. Give me your heart. The most precious thing before God is your heart. May I ask you this question very sincerely, God's people? Is your heart with God? Only you can answer that. It's a question of conscience. Is your heart with God? How much place does God have in your heart? Please sincerely answer this question this morning. I don't mean to condemn you. No, I don't have the power to do so. Even God will not condemn you. He's calling you this morning. He's knocking at the door of your heart. If you will give Him chance to come in, He will come and bless you. You know yourself very well. You know you are far apart from God. Today you are saying, Pastor, please help me. I want you to pray for me. I'm eager to do so. God will never condemn you. He doesn't throw people away. He loves you so much. That's why He's calling you this morning. If you are here this morning, you want to render your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know you don't have His peace, you don't have His joy, and you want to render your life to Him this morning. Will you let me pray with you this morning? Anywhere you are, on the gallery, on the ground floor, any of the homes, please stand to your feet. Don't mind who is joining you or who is not joining you. Everybody has personal decision to make. You want to be born again. Quickly, quickly, stand to your feet. Quickly, stand to your feet. Quickly, stand to your feet. Make a decision. Don't join the bandwagon. Make your decision. I want to surrender my life to Jesus today. Secondly, maybe you gave your life to Jesus before, but you also know that you are backsliding. Or maybe you are backslidden. You stop following God. You don't go to church again, except by accident this morning. You don't study the word again. You don't pray again. Nothing about God excites you again. You are already backsliding, or you are backsliding. Maybe you even go back to drinking and all of the stuff you used to do before. But Jesus will still show you mercy this morning if you will return to Him. If you will return to Him, He will show you mercy this morning. Can I ask you, whosoever you are in this condition, stand up as well. Give me a chance to pray for you. And God bless you for doing that. Stand up quickly. Now, all of you who have stood up, can I ask you to take a step? Come to the altar here right now. Come quickly. Come quickly. Carry your Bible, your bag, anything you come to church with, including your little children. If you come to children with children this morning, quickly come. Come, church. Your big hand for Jesus, the one who is saving souls. Jesus is saving souls this morning. He's saving the young. He's saving the old. He's saving the middle age. He's saving men. He's saving women. He doesn't discriminate. He's not throwing away anybody. Somebody may call you a bad sinner. Don't you worry. God is not calling you so. And I'm not calling you so. Quickly, run down here. Run down for your salvation. Run down for your salvation. Run down for your salvation. There are some other people who are seated this morning. Something is telling you, stand up. Go and meet with that pastor. Let that pastor pray for you. You know it. That's the voice you are hearing. Don't harden your heart. Don't say, I will do it next time. Don't postpone it. Oh, somebody's out there saying, but you know, I don't smoke. I don't carry women. I don't drink. You are talking in your self-righteousness. Your righteousness is as filthy rag before God. Inside you, you know you don't have peace. You don't have joy. That is the thermometer for measuring your place with God. If you don't have peace, you don't have joy, you don't have satisfaction, something is troubling you in your mind, that is an indication that you need Jesus on your inside. Therefore, stand up. If you are still there, you are yet to stand up and run down here. God bless you. Can you see that church? They are standing up. Give Jesus a big hand right now as we receive them. God bless you. I thank God for your sincerity. I thank God you are no more going to be an hypocrite. Now, every one of you in front here, all of my good friends, my brothers and sisters, will you put your right hand on your chest where your heart is and pray this prayer with me right now. Bow your head for the purpose of concentration. Some people are running down because salvation is on the move. All of you in front here, say with me and say it loudly. Lord Jesus, make it louder if you can. Lord Jesus, I come to you today to receive the free gift of salvation. Have mercy on me. I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me today. Give me new life. From now, I confess with my mouth, as I believe in my heart, that Jesus is Lord. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we receive these souls into your kingdom, and we thank you because the power of the devil is destroyed from their lives. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. God bless you. Please open your eyes. What a joy that you pray this prayer today. Your life will never be the same again. Will you please go with our church officials, either to the right and to the left. Church, let's give Jesus a big hand for them. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Church, are you still clapping? Hallelujah. Good news for someone today. Every invisible barrier of your life shall be broken. That is what we are focusing on next Sunday. And it will be a special anointing service. The mission of the anointing, among others, is to break barriers, to destroy yokes. Get ready. It's your turn. Nothing evil will be hiding around your life and your family anymore. I thought somebody saying amen to that. Please get your handbills to invite all of your friends, your acquaintances. Remember, this week you are doing what we call compelling invitation. What are we doing this week? I'm not sure I heard you very well. If you do it, I know you will say it clearer now. What are you doing this week? That is, you get to somebody or call somebody or send SMS to him. Don't ask him, will you be chanced to come to our church next Sunday? You tell them, you are coming to church with me next Sunday. You tell them, I'm coming to pick you next Sunday. You tell them, I've reserved a seat for you in church next Sunday. Say with me again, compelling invitation. You tell them, are you really my friend? If he says yes, then prove it next Sunday. If you are truly my friend, you must come to church with me. Compelling invitation. Say it again, compelling invitation. Just like when you are an unbeliever, the way you used to compel young men or young ladies to follow you, compel them. Many of you are experts in doing that before. Some of you are smiling already. Convert that now that you are a child of God. Compelling invitation. Through your effort, next Sunday, this church shall be filled to the overflow. Get vehicles hired. Get them to come. Some of you have 3-4 vehicles in your house. Why don't you put one or two on the road? Put your drivers there and let them bring people to the church so you can see the house of God filled as he has commanded us. It is well with you in Jesus' precious name. On Wednesday, we'll be having focused intercession on this subject. Breaking invisible barrier. We'll be fasting. Every barrier in my family must be broken. So Wednesday service is not the service to miss. Not this coming Wednesday. Don't miss it. Let's come and intercede together over our families for barriers to be broken. At the end of the service on Wednesday, vehicles will be provided, buses will be provided to take us to the nearest places to our homes. Don't get anxious about how you will get home. God has taken care of that, and God bless you as you come in Jesus' name. Somebody say loud amen. Amen. Get the books of the month. Get Miracles Are Real. All of those materials are available for you. And get the teachings on CDs. I want to ask you to get the teachings, especially that of Thursday and Friday. If you can get that of Wednesday as well, that opened us up to the teaching of the month, why not? But Thursday and Friday, make sure you get it to put in you zeal and passion for this assignment. You are blessed in Jesus' name. I say you are blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Quickly, before we bless the communion table this morning, there are a number of us who just came to this church for the first time on Sunday. This is your first time you are attending Living Faith Church Goshen. Will you please give us a chance to pray over your life? The church loves you, the church welcomes you, and we want to honor you. Everyone worshiping in this church for the very first Sunday, please stand to your feet. God bless you. We love you. We honor you. We respect you. We invited you and you came. God will honor you in return. God will honor you in return. I thought the church is saying amen for them. All of you who are standing and those of you who will join them, please start coming to the altar. All first time worshippers, come with anything you came to church with, including your bag, your wallet, your cap, anything, including children. Please quickly come. Don't leave anything behind there. We love you. Church, show to them that we are welcoming them. Show to them that we love them. Show to them that they are honorable people. Amen. Come on. A bigger clap, church. Those of you in the gallery, quickly come. We love you. We love you. We love you. Wave to them and tell them we love you. Now, please stand to your feet, every other person in the assembly. Let us pray together. Today, poverty is destroyed in my life. Today, misfortune is destroyed in my life. Today, sickness, disease, affliction, destroyed from my life. Somebody begin to pray. By the power in the communion, affliction is gone. Cancer is destroyed. High blood pressure, no more. Strange diseases, no more. SS and anemia, gone. In the name of Jesus, somebody pray. Somebody be determined. Call for your blessing. Call for your blessing. Call for your blessing. Even now. Call for your blessing. Call for your open doors. Even now. The blood of Jesus is making a way for you. Thank you and thank you and thank you. And thank you and thank you and thank you. And thank you and thank you and thank you. And thank you and thank you and thank you. And thank you and thank you and thank you. And thank you and thank you and thank you. Blessed be God forevermore. Blessed be God forevermore. In Jesus' wonderful name we are praying. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless these our friends, brothers and sisters at the altar today. They have come to look for you, not to look for man. Therefore, bless them today. Visit them today. Enrich them today. Terminate their pains and sorrow today. Take away their burdens today. Let today